Welcome into another episode of Who's Together, everyone. Episode 2. Shout out to y'all for all the love and support after episode 1. I'm Lauren Moses.
And I'm Quinn Blanding, and we're live, baby.
And we're live. Episode 2, you know, we have to get into UVA football. They just took another loss. But before we get into UVA football and recap that situation in Duke, let's talk about NFL players in the league. Because we have quite a few, Quinn.
We do. And it just amazes me how people sleep on us. Like, we have a very strong tenured going into the NFL, and I just love all those guys. And I remember last week Jelani Woods got his first touchdowns, and two touchdowns.
Two, yeah.
To help win the game last week was
very awesome. Crucial.
Then, we have a lot of other guys that I love and adore, like, Morgan Moses, Bryce Hall, both of them.
Fun fact about Morgan Moses, I would love to have him on this podcast, because when I was a freshman, I think he was a senior.
He was heading out. He was heading out before.
I think he had just graduated, but we were like watching the games, and I think we had gone to a few football games during recruiting. And my mom looked at my dad and goes, "Is he related to you?" And he was like, "I don't think so." And then we looked up like where he was from and everything, and we were like, "Nah, we don't know him. We just got the same last name." But he put on for the Moses.
Nah, he's doing very well for himself in Baltimore right now, and I think we can definitely get him on the show. I got connects. I hit my people to hit his people. We can figure it out. Then we have everyone doing very well, like Olamide, Joey Blunt, recent graduate. Olamide.
He's been tearing it up with the Falcons.
He has. Yeah. I mean, he has to. He has to step up. He has to, bring the fire that he brought at UVA. Then we got Rodney McLeod, one of my mentors. Bryce Perkins, Juan Thornhill, we have Brent, we have O'Day, we got a lot, Aunt Harris. We got a lot of boys out there, I'm happy for those guys that are in the NFL, that are playing on Sundays, Eric Smith, all those guys. And then, recently, Ben Kurt just got signed to the 49ers practice squad, looking to get up there. And so
he was with the Rams last year, right? Or no?
No. So Ben Kurt was with Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yep. Yes. He was with Green Bay, got let go. And then, he was. If you guys want a nice venture into what a nice family looks like, just follow Ben Kurt and his wife and, Scout.
Yeah, no, they have a beautiful family.
It's just amazing what they do and how they travel. But, we always want to give those people their flowers while they're here. And, we want to show support to those guys who dedicated their lives to being in the NFL. And, shout out to those guys playing each and every day. And, we love you guys dearly. And You're always with us. You're always with us as Who's, and
always.
We love you guys.
We always rooting y'all on. I never even met Jelani Woods, but I had to repost that first touchdown. I was like, dang, that was tough. I just remember when my brother got his first touchdown in the NFL. Yeah. I think he was with Green Bay at the time, and he forced a turnover, and they weren't very far from the end zone, but he got his first touchdown, and it's like, it just sends chills to your body. Like, how do you react?
I wouldn't know how to. I think we got to work with Jelani on some dance moves or something.
He was just hype.
Like, he didn't know what to do with his hands, the ball or nothing. But, it's all love. And he already knows. Like, I tweeted at him. We always have this friendly competition. I didn't get the chance to play with him. But, I've always told him, like, 10 out of 10 times I'm going to win each battle we play against each other. But it was just good to see him play. And then even though his second one was on Juan, it was a great ball. Juan was in great position, but, he just happened to catch the ball. He's very strong, but it's little UVA love, Yeah. It's all good, but, I'm happy.
Tough love ain't never hurt nobody.
It ain't, tough love. Tough love, that's all. That's all it is.
Well, we're going to have to give some tough love to your boys, because they took a loss.
I got my hoodie on. I'm not Quinn. I'm hoodie Q right now while we do this segment.
Quinn had to put his hoodie on just to get into this, but we have to talk about it, because they still have not had a game. UVA football has still not had a game where offense, defense, and their special teams have been able to get it together and been clicking at the same time. You talked about it last week that you wanted to see offense step it up and special teams step it up. Yeah. Who did what in this Duke game? It wasn't enough, but
I think honestly, I don't think we did enough on either side of the ball.
Yeah,
okay. On any side of the ball, any special teams. I think we came out as a team just flat. Like, I don't think we had any energy. Like, I think Duke won the game from the start of the kickoff, where if you watch them play, it just, they played with so much energy. I don't even know where that energy came from, but it just, they played with so much more energy than us from the first kickoff to the last whistle play. And so I don't think we did. I mean, we had glimpses of things went right. I mean, yes, we scored finally going into half, but it wasn't enough. And then you can see glimpses. We're not. And you can see the glimpses of us, you know, starting to shine on offense. And then we get stopped and Taylor back. And then something happens. And, you know, I live tweet during the games. And so, you know, a lot of people just want to blame the coaches. I get it. Like, I get you want to blame the coaches because they're new and they have a system that they want to run. But at the end of the day, the coaches are not on the field with us. You have to, whatever the play is called, you have to dominate the person across from you, regardless of the situation. So we have to go back to that mentality of, we're going to win no matter what this call is. Like, Duke dictated us to play their game. We didn't play our game.
Yeah.
And so that just was horrible to me. And I think just looking at that game again, it's just, we need to be better on all phases of the field, and we have to come with energy. Like, it's times where, like, we'll go to opponents' like stadiums, and the camera will be on us because we're so hype on the sideline. We're dancing, we're having fun, we're throwing towels, we're throwing water. I haven't yet seen that yet this year. I barely seen it last year. Yeah. Like, I'm starting to notice a trend, but it's like we have the same players. We have everything we need. It's just, we have new coaches, new systems. Cool. We have the same players. We need to do better overall. Like,
you can't get it going on the field. I guess it's like you're not really going to want to do all that on the sideline. You're trying to be locked in. But Coach Elliott, he said something after the game that I want to ask you about. He said, we're not playing smart football. We're not playing complimentary football. We're struggling when the bullets start flying to just come together as a team, hunker down, battle for each other. Who is this UVA football team? Like, what are they known for? Or what are they putting out that this, like, this is what we do at this point?
At this rate. And I love what he said in that message, honestly. And he took it as a head coach. He took it on him. He said, it's my fault. I got to prepare these guys better. I have to do better. And right then and there, like, you showing he has a leadership ability to do that. And the players are responding, but I don't think they're responding well enough yet. Like, I know he coaches hard. You can see him on the sideline when he's snapping at these kids, like, and they zoom in on him purposely to show that. And I hate that they do that, but they do it, and I love seeing it because it's like he's playing with passion. He's playing with heart. Like, it doesn't matter what the call is. You need to go out there and execute at a high level. No matter if you're on special teams, you're on offense, you're on defense, you're on the sideline, like, you have to bring the energy. You have to be willing to fight for the one next to you no matter what. And then it just goes back to these dumb penalties we're getting. Like, we might be
inflicted wounds.
we've might been the most penalized team, I swear, that I ever seen us be in a long time.
Is that discipline? What is that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I just think it's dumb. Like, I get it. Like, personally, if you're on defense, I feel like you're allowed one 15-yarder. You got to set the tone. Like, I feel like you have to set the tone. One 15-yarder, I can live with. As a coach, I can live with. But now we're getting 2 to 3 to 4. Like, come on. Like, I get it. Like, if it's in the rules, play hard to the whistle. But now we got people punching people after the play. Like, come on. Like, we can't do much with that, but it's only going to come down to, and I was thinking about this earlier because I feel like I knew you were going to ask me something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. I was like, I remember when we first, our first year, we came in 2014. I remember there was a time where Henry Coley told the coaches to leave out. We had a player only meeting.
I love that.
I remember him cussing us out, but it was just like, if everyone knows Henry, he doesn't really cuss, but it's like, he talks from passion. And when he spoke to us, it was like, we got to fight for each other. Like, no matter what these coaches are doing, Like, we got to be the ones to fight at the end of the day. Like, forget the coaches, forget the system, forget anything that's going on. We got to come together as a team to play for each other. And I don't think right now we're playing for each other. No. Like, I think it's a lot of just individuals going out right now, which I understand, because you're trying to still adapt and to trust the new coach. But the team is the same. Like, you guys have to come together. We have to be a team. And we, no matter what, we have to dominate the other team, no matter what, at the end of the day.
I feel like when I remember watching you guys play, you guys would get in lulls in the season and, you know, lose back-to-back games, whatever the case may be. It always started with one person on each team, like one person on offense, one person on defense, maybe a special teams player. And they were the ones that started getting it going. And I feel like it got you guys all together and motivated y'all to do that. Who are those two, three people that need to just come out guns blazing, consistent, and hyping everybody up on the field?
So I think, honestly, it starts with our offense. I mean, it starts with our quarterback. It starts with B.A. Honestly, it has to start with B.A. Mm-hmm. I think right now, you know, you can see sometimes he has confidence, then he loses his confidence because, like, things aren't going the right way. But it has to start with him. Like, no matter what, it has to start with B.A. I love our running back. I see the fight that he brings. I see, you know, the dogs that our running backs are playing with. Yeah. I see that. But it has to start with our quarterback. And then it has to start with our receivers. You know, we have Lavelle Davis. We have KT. We have Wicks. We have Billy. We have all those receivers that I feel like they play a big part in that offense. And so I know it's hard, you know, with B.A., you know, how he's playing right now. He's not playing bad, but I would love to see him do a lot better than what he's doing. And then I would love to see our receivers do a lot better as well and bring that fire and that passion that I'm used to seeing from them.
Yeah.
And I think those guys have to step up on offense. But now when we get to defense, Nick Jackson has to be a great leader, which he is, but he just has to continue to bring the fire out of these people. Like, we have to get our D-line fired up. Like, you know, Famui's always punching somebody. I get it. He's a very physical guy, but he has to stop that. You know, Ben Smiley has to stop that. I know they're playing with passion, but it comes to, you know, just play within the rules, play within, you know, that yard of space that you have. And then in the back end, we have to have our safeties and our corners just communicate no matter what and just really be dogs. Like, and I know it's crazy. Like, and a lot of people say, like, I remember watching some play versus Pitt my last year, and the lady, I forgot her name, was talking, and she was just like, she can hear me saying, like, on the sideline, like, we gotta be dogs. Like, no matter what, we have to be dogs. Like, I don't care what the offense does, I don't care what special teams does. As a defense, you have to be dogs. Like, and she was like, yeah. And then the next play, I called a pick and called it the Blandon effect. So it's like, that's what we have to do. We have to be dogs no matter what. Like, we just have to play football and let loose. Like, I don't think we're letting loose. I think we're playing like robots. We're trying to just fit in a system where we really, honestly, truly just need to be dogs. So I don't think it's two to three people that has to step up and be that leader. I think it's everyone that has to step up and really just truly put their best foot forward and really, truly be a dog like I know they are. And then after that, we can write our own history. Like, because even then, we went 2-10 Broncos first year. 2-10. But if you watch us play, it was tough nose football. We played hard to every single whistle, every single zero on that clock. We played hard. It wasn't a true team that really blew us out because we were going to fight and play hard.
Yeah.
Granted, we didn't have much on offense because we were still getting warmed up. But, you know, granted, it sucks as a defense. If you're going 3-and-out, you got to go back on the field. But we have to be dogs at the end of the day. And I think everyone has to step up. Everybody.
I agree. So the Cavaliers had two games this season where they forced four turnovers. They did not do that at all at Duke, which it gave them the option and the control, really, of the game. So moving forward, they take on Louisville this week. It's a home game. October 8th, make sure you guys go, give support, be loud, cheer them on. But Louisville, 2-3, they're coming off a loss to Boston College, who's been playing pretty well in the ACC. What does Louisville like to do, and like, how can we stop them? How can we get this win off? We got to get a win, Quinn.
Yeah, we do got to get a win. And I don't even think we have to worry about what Louisville is going to do. Facts. I think right now we have to worry about us and what we can do. Like, I think that's what it's going to come down to. Are we going to play Virginia football at the end of the day? Are we going to play Virginia football? And I think that is how we win versus Louisville next week, the following week. Like, that's where we're going to win.
Get back to the basics.
Just get back to the basics. Be dogs. Play football. And everything is going to click. Like, and all the coaches are amazing. They're doing an amazing job. I don't care what no one says. These coaches are great. Our players are great. We just have to win as a team. That's all. Like, that's the key takeaway for everything. We have to win as a team and play as a team no matter what. Like, if someone's messing up, let them know. Let's get back out there, change it, and let's go. Because it ain't no time to just feel sorry for yourself. It's the game of football. Be a dog and let's move on and let's go and let's win. 1-0 each week. And let's just be dogs no matter what.
Well, be a dog. Key to the next game. just go be out and be a dog.
That's it. Well,
hopefully they can do it because we're 2-3 right now. We need this win. Even it out. I feel like that would give them a boost of confidence as well. So. Yeah. Let's keep our fingers crossed and make sure you guys go cheer them on. Moving on to more teams around grounds. We do have some good news. We got some great.
I can take my hood off of this now. We have some great news at this rate.
The mood has shifted.
Yeah, shifted. It's great now. Mellow.
Yeah. Let's start off with really good news because we have a women's soccer team who's number 2 in the country right now. This is their highest ranking of the year. Yes. They're ranked 6 in RPI, but they are going to take on Duke. They're going to continue ACC play. Number 4 Duke. It was a postponed game due to the hurricane. Also, prayers and thoughts with all the people who were affected by the hurricane. I think it was Florida area. I can't remember. I don't know.
Florida
did it hit North Carolina and South Carolina at all?
Yeah, it did, but Florida got it the worst out of them all. But I mean, if you know people in the Carolinas or wherever, you know, if they're in need of help as well, you know, prayers out to those people as well. But Florida for sure, you know, our prayers and thoughts and, you know, a lot of hard work and blood, sweat and tears went out there. And so, you know, our prayers are out there.
Women's soccer, though, they are playing Duke this weekend. Sunday. By the time this episode comes out, they would have already played and probably beat them. So
one.
Their last game, they took on Louisville. They beat them 2-0, and Alexis Thera hit her first game-winning goal. We're talking about first touchdowns. This is the first goal off of a free kick. So kudos to you, Alexis. Make sure you guys also support the women's soccer team because they will definitely be playing in a national game. Like I can already see it.
I feel it. I got chills hearing it. Got chills. I'm ready for it.
Volleyball. Moving on to volleyball. New head coach, 8-6 right now. They are opening up ACC against Duke, of course. Mm-hmm. If you can understand, there's a theme here. All the teams play the same teams around the same time. I love that schedule.
I do too.
I feel like they didn't do that when we were playing.
They kind of did. It was like a here and there thing. It was like it kind of matched, but then sometimes it'll be off and then it'll match. It's weird.
It is weird, but the Cavaliers are trying to get their first win over Duke since 2015. Yeah. So they are 3-1. They've lost to Duke for several years now, but let's see if they can do something special. They did just take a loss to the number 10 team in the country, Pitt, in 4 sets, but they have a blocker in Abby Tatter, who is 3rd in the ACC right now in total blocks. So shout out to you, girl. Grace Turner, she's killing it with the set. She leads the team in kills per set with 3.5, and she's number 7 in the ACC.
I love that. And I love that, you know, yes, we haven't beat Duke in a while, you know, with volleyball, but I think this is our time. I think we got the right coach in there, and she's doing phenomenal. 8-6, like open up into ACC play. I think that's phenomenal. And so I think they're only going to grow from here, and it's only going to get better, and I think they win this week versus Duke, and I love it, and I can't wait to see, you know, them dancing and having fun on the volleyball court.
I'm hype. I just remember the kills. It's the kills for me. Yeah. Like when you just slap it right down in front of their Remember Jasmine Burton? She was really good at that. Yes.
I remember they do the little jump at the end. That was like I wish they could do more celebration, but
no, what my favorite one was, it was Ace. Got him. And then like you would say Ace on the court, and then the bench would be like, got him.
I mean, it was all right when we went, you know what I mean? They were playing tough teams when I went, so it was like kind of hard sometimes.
Let's see. Who else do we have around ground? Oh, more women's tennis. So they're competing in a national tournament last week. And of course, they're competing in another national tournament this week, again, down in North Carolina. Six members this time. Last week it was four members. This time it's six. And they are participating in the Intercollegiate Tennis Association's first national tournament of the year. And that's all of this week, October 1st through the 9th. So tune in, check out their scores and root them on, because our women's tennis team, men's tennis team, are doing really good work this year. Yes. So
they're doing well, and I'm excited.
Have you ever gone to a tennis match?
I have. I went to an indoor one at Boar's Head.
I've been to, I think I've only actually been to an indoor one.
I went to only indoor. I haven't been to outdoor.
Yeah.
I feel like outdoor is always on a Saturday. Outdoor is always on a Saturday. So like we will have to play. So it's like we couldn't really watch them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then last question, Quinn, because all of these teams, obviously, like they're playing in the same spaces that we have, you know, going to Duke, everybody going to Syracuse, things like that. Yeah. However, you know, different sports have different experiences. I'm curious, because playing, when I played at least, I liked playing at two away gyms, and that was really about it. And it's funny because their colors are kind of similar, but it was Louisville, even though we didn't have the best record against Louisville.
Yeah.
I liked playing in the Yum Center and at NC State.
Mm, okay.
I just liked the vibe. It was always competitive on the road against NC State, which is why I more than like the actual gym arena area, but I liked playing there, and Yum Center is just loud. And I always just thrived off of their fans getting hype for them, but us doing good.
So for me, I think honestly, I never played NC State, so I never got to see their field.
Really? Yeah.
But I went to their stadium last weekend to watch one of my young boys play, and their stadium is actually really nice. And I was very impressed with it. I never got to play on it, so I can't say that was one of my fields that I liked, but it was pretty nice. I like how they do the lights and all that stuff. I'm like, oh,
fancy.
Fancy. Turns red and all. I'm like, oh, okay, fancy. But no, for me, I think my favorite roads, like stadium to be in, one, it will always be hands down, was Tech.
Really?
Yeah, just because like,
and we're talking about these stadiums and arenas outside of Charlottesville. Like, that's, I love it. JPJ is my favorite place to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Scott Stadium, I will always love to be in Scott Stadium. But, you know, you always
have to put that disclaimer out there. So people are just like, oh, you don't like playing?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no.
I have to show the outside world. But Virginia Tech was by far, like, my favorite stadium to always play in. One, yes, is a rivalry week, but it's just that energy. Those fans, like, it's just a different breed. Like, when they play,
I hated playing in Virginia Tech because you can actually hear the fans, and they research you when you're on the free throw line. They are going to call out your grandma, your auntie. Everybody. Like, they go
in on you. I love that energy. And then, like, you know, that Inner Sandman just comes on, and everyone's jumping and with the keys, and it's just like, yeah, here we go. It's time to play football now. And then I think my sleeper is actually UNC. And the only reason why I love UNC is when they play Petey Pablo, when it comes on out there. I'm a big Petey Pablo fan.
Are you already on the field?
I'm already on the field. And I just hear it. I'm like,
you already locked in.
I know the song and I'm in my head like, yeah. I'm not even from North Carolina, but I know the song and I'm like, okay. But I just love playing in those stadiums just because, like, I feel like it's so much history within those stadiums that I love to be a part of. So I think those two, apart from Scott Stadium, ladies and gentlemen, is my favorite to be in or be around. Like, you know, I went to the Rose Bowl. I didn't really like the Rose Bowl. Mm.
A lot of people have said that, even fans. Like, my dad used to live in California, and he's gone a few times. And
I don't think it's...
It's more of the atmosphere outside the Rose Bowl, I feel like.
I guess, because the Rose Bowl wasn't all that. Oregon, it was good, but it wasn't all that to me, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? I got to play at Boise with their blue field. I hated that.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that blue field.
I always
field.
Wondered if that was, like, weird for players to play on.
I hated it. I hated it, personally. I mean, we won, but I hated that field. BYU, you couldn't breathe out there.
How are their fans?
I mean, so, you know, talking about that, like, even though, you know, what happened with that volleyball player, it's crazy. Mm. But
Duke women's volleyball player, for those who don't know, was targeted with some racial slurs while she was playing at BYU against BYU. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. You're fine. I just don't know. Like, they probably were saying it just because, like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't, maybe just didn't hear, but I don't know. But I didn't really. And it's nothing out there.
Yeah.
So other than that, I mean, Miami was cool, but Miami was just like...
I loved going to Miami just to play, because think about it, our games are in the middle of the winter, dead middle of the winter.
Oh,
so having a couple games out there a year was very nice.
Yeah, mine would always just be Virginia Tech in North Carolina, only just because of the atmosphere. That's just the only reason why. And I think it's just fun being in those atmosphere. And that just, like, brings the best out of you. Like, you really know you have to bring your
A-game.
If not, they gonna let you know, and that's what I love about it. That's what I love.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up. Let's wrap it up. Episode 2 in the can. We have already been talking about guests. My mom has already sent me a list of guests that she wants us to bring.
She
on.
Did. Oh yeah. Yeah.
To our little notes thing, but yes, she has a list of people that she wants us to chat with on here. You guys, let us know who you want to see on here. Also, what you want to hear from this podcast as well. But we're excited to continue bringing the UVA sports news and our experiences and the guests and all the things in between. Make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms.
Yes.
I am Baller, the number 2 reporter on Twitter. And Quinn.
And then for me on Twitter, it's _QKB_3. I'm always going to be free, no matter what. You know,
forever.
It's in my blood. It's in my blood.
That's what's up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for episode 2. And we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yes. Love you guys always for the support. But we got to go. We gonna spend it, get it right back. Stack that internet money to the site crash.